book of Revelation with me again, chapter 14, verses 13 through 20. And the section of this chapter is entitled, The Harvest of the Earth. And so we're going to read, and then you're going to, at some point, if I was to ask you, do you fully understand this book, and do you have any questions? And I would expect that most of you would say, yes, I have questions, and yes, I don't fully understand everything that's going on. And so here we are with another gathering of the church, and it's like, what? I thought they gathered back when, you know, whatever. And so I'm going to try to make sense for you this morning of what's going on here. And so let us read. We'll get into the message, and hopefully you can start putting things together. And so let's begin at verse 13. Note, take note of that. And then we're going to read to the end of that chapter. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel who had charge of the fire came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe. The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the press, rising as high as the horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may your Spirit give us understanding today. Lord, may these words be your words and not mine. And I pray, Lord, you fill me with that Spirit as I bring this message to your people wherever they are gathered today. Lord, I pray for those that hear this message that they learn, they grow, and they're challenged in their walk with you. Lord, may you encourage them through this message. May you give them strength through your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you enjoy harvest time? Crops, your garden, maybe fruit trees. Yeah, I enjoy harvest time too. It's one of my favorite times of year. And a lot of times you work hard to produce whatever you're producing. And in the fall or in harvest time, it's the bounty of what you get to bring in. It's exciting, right? How many of you farmers out there and you make that first pass through the bean field or the cornfield, you got a pretty good idea of how fall is going to go. And you're excited to get that combine through there in that first round to know kind of where you're at. You collect the bounty of what you work so hard for. Chapter 14, we see the harvest of the earth in the last day. Now, here's where I want to stop for just a moment and just call a timeout. Because if you really start to look at what we've been talking about here over the last several weeks since the beginning of Revelation chapter 1, we've talked about a lot of different things, who Christ is, what he looked like, the seven churches, which seems a long time ago, and then we come through these different cycles. Does anybody remember what followed the seven churches? We moved into seven what? Seals. And then we moved into seven what? We're just finishing up on the seventh one, getting ready to head into the next seven series of bowls. What was the middle one? The trumpets. Very good. And so now you're probably wondering, what does all this mean? Because here we're at the harvest of the church from earth. If you go back and you look at, let me look at my notes here. Chapter 7 spoke of the great multitude in heaven. And you might be thinking, well, I thought the church was already gathered in chapter 7 of Revelation. Why are you talking about this harvest again in chapter 14? You got the seals, you got the trumpets, and in the next few weeks we'll talk about the bowls. And then after the bowls, there's another harvest. We see the great white throne judgment. That's coming, I believe, chapter 19 in Revelation. So how do you make sense of this? And as I'm preaching through this, notice that I'm just going right down the line, chapter after chapter after chapter. But here's what I want you to think about today. So all of this is not in chronological order. You're thinking, well, what do you mean? So here's the point. The first couple chapters of Revelation in the churches are kind of the history lesson of who Jesus is. It speaks to the churches. And then we move into the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and then the seven bowls. And what I want to tell you this morning to kind of put you at ease so you understand is that those three series, those three stories, speak of the same time frame. Simultaneously. And what John is trying to tell us here is that through the series of seals, now remember a few of those seals could already be playing out upon the earth. The first couple trumpets could already be playing out upon the earth. We'll learn that the first couple bowls could be playing out already on the earth through history and time. But they all are kind of stacked on top of each other. John's trying to give us an understanding of this is how this is going to look. And then at the end of each series, he gives us a little bit of information of what the end time when Jesus returns looks like. And so we are at that place again this morning in chapter 14 when he's going to give us another example or another definition of what it'll look like when Jesus returns. Now, I don't do this very often. But let me ask you this, I do ask you a lot of questions. Are you picking up what I'm saying? That these three cycles are the same thing explained in different ways. I want you to get that because if you start to understand that, the book of Revelation makes a lot more sense. I'd have you raise your hand, but then I'm afraid that some of you are like, well, I don't know yet. But I want you to get this. I want you to understand that these cycles run simultaneously. Because then it makes a lot more sense, like I said. And so now we find ourselves at another judgment, another image of judgment, after the seventh trumpet this morning. And so if you have your Bible open with you this morning, stay on to chapter 14, those set of verses we read this morning. I'm going to reference a few of them over time. The book of Revelation is not only about judgment, it's also about the assurance of hope for believers, for you and I as Christ followers. And so I want to cement that deep with you again this morning. And so I'm going to touch back on verse 13, and then we're going to move ahead into the other ones. Verse 13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." This verse says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." So what does that mean to die in the Lord? Let's start with that question this morning in your faith walk. What does that look like? It means that a person lived in and for the Lord when he or she was on earth. Pretty simple to understand that. They believed in the Lord Jesus and they followed after the Lord with all their heart, with all their life. A follower of Christ. And when they faced death, they were in the Lord. They died being in the Lord. And so when we do that, which we all hope to do that, that's our goal, there are two rewards. First, there's the reward of rest from earthly labor. Now, some of you enjoy working, and others maybe not so much, but we get to rest from our earthly toil, right? How many of you have to, and I'm assuming all of you have this, you always have the influence of this world to make a living, to provide for your families, and sometimes it's not easy. That burden will be gone, lifted. You're free from that, is what God says, when you come into my kingdom. That pressure is gone. That's a good feeling. Second, there's a reward of heavenly work that you will do. All right? Verse 13 says, "For their deeds will follow them." And so what we do in this world is not lost. The good things that you and I do, they are not lost. They go with us into heaven someday. So realize that. The good that you do here, you get rewarded for, and it will follow you into this new creation. We take what is right. We take what is true. We take this whatever is beautiful in this world, we take into heaven with us. And heaven's not going to be some kind of long church service with a lot of inactivity. It's going to be bustling with things to do. It's going to be joyful. It's going to be worshipful. And it'll be filled with service for you and I. And we're going to talk a whole lot about this in Revelation 20 and 21 because it's the dessert of life. And we're going to get into more of that when we get to the end of the book of Revelation. But here we are in verses 14 through 16 now. Keep up with me this morning. The glorious harvest of the godly takes place in those first three verses of this section this morning. And it says that, notice it says an angel, but here we believe that Jesus returns on a white cloud. You know, you've known in that, right? He's going to return and the heavens are going to be opened up like a scroll and Jesus descends on a white cloud. White symbolizes the purity and righteousness of heaven. He'll be wearing a gold crown, symbolizing his value and his preciousness. And he's coming to take his rightful place in this world. Now, in this vision, he shall return with a sharp sickle in his hand, is what it says. And more or less what this is a picture of holy judgment. He's taken the church from the earth. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, and he's calling them unto himself, and we get this image of a scythe, of a sickle, that's plucking people out of the earth, and he's calling them to himself. And at this point, we see a separation of believers from the ungodly and the evil that's upon the earth. Notice that this harvest is done. His believers, it's done by Jesus himself. In a little bit, you're going to see that an angel does the other work. But Jesus does this himself. And I think that that speaks of Jesus and how he lives within a personal relationship with you and I. And when that day comes, I truly believe that he's going to speak to whatever your name is. He's going to say, come to me. And I hope he calls your name, because it's written in the book if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And how soon does this happen? How quick? For you that know your Bible well, the Bible speaks of it. How fast? In the blinking of an eye. Harvested. Boom. Done. We're there. You're not going to have time to run to your brother or your sister or your mom and dad. I'll see you when I get there, you know, and I hope you get. No, that's not. Boom. Done. The sickle swings. It's harvested. That's why God says, be ready to meet your maker. Not only through death, but when Jesus returns. It's going to be swift and quick. Make sure you're right with the Lord. It's a wonderful sight. It's glorious to believers because it means that the great day of the redemption has come. But it also is a day of great fear, a day of horror for unbelievers, because it means that the great day of God's wrath has come to fall upon them. And they see that who they denied, who they never believed in, who they maybe hated, is now truly real. And they see them face to face. And so one thing we need to note about this vision of judgment, that the earth is ripe. You heard that this morning. Let me speak to that just briefly. Verse 15, if you want to follow along in your Bible this morning, says, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. That means that everyone who will hear about Jesus and come to the faith, that number is complete. Everybody has been made aware or should know that Jesus Christ exists, that God is the creator at that point. And at this point, no one else will come to believe in God anymore. And that's kind of hard for us to understand. But from this moment on, everyone else will deny God. They will turn their back on God, except for those that are left here upon the earth as believers, the church. And those that are left behind, it is a terrible place to be. And so when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations in Matthew 28, he wants us to keep people from this terrible day. And that's our job as the church, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to make sure that people don't fall into this terrible day that will one day come. It's our job to share Jesus with others who don't know him. Move along with me to Revelation verses 17 through 20. We see a picture of what happens to those who don't accept Christ and the ungodly. We see the harvester. It's a great angel. He comes out of the temple of God, and he's holding a sharp sickle in his hand. Verses 18 through 19, let me just read what the command is to you. Take your sharp sickle. Notice it defines sharp in the Bible. This doesn't say, you know, get your lawnmower out. Get your scythe out. Take your sharp sickle and do the work. Meaning that it's swift, it's complete, it's thorough when this comes. Here's verse 18 and 19. Take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe. The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. And then we begin to see the terror of the harvest of the ungodly. First, there will be the terror of the angelic cry. There's a second angel mentioned in verse 18, if you caught that with me this morning. But he does not come from God's presence. Notice that. He comes from the altar of incense. Does anybody remember what's going on at the altar? Who's around it? The martyrs. And they're crying out to God. When will this end? When will God's people be? When will the persecution quit? And their prayers are answered. And the angel who's in charge of the fire on the altar steps out of heaven onto earth, and he casts down, he or she, whatever it is, an angel, casts down the fire onto earth to those unbelievers. And how does God say how the world will end the second time? There'll never be what anymore? The promise of the rainbow said what? The flood. But how will the second cleansing occur? What will be the way or the action? What? Fire. You got it. This angel rains down fire on the earth. Now remember, the church is gone here, right? There is Jesus. The unbelievers are left, and their bodies are scorched. The earth is cleansed by fire from this angel. Now their physical bodies, right, it talks about the wine press, and it describes the torture and the torment that they'll go through. But here's what I want you to know. Their souls have not been destroyed yet. Their physical bodies are gone, but their souls are still to be judged. And that's still coming yet. In the great white throne judgment, we'll talk more about that, about when those souls get judged in the book of Revelation. So I want you to understand the work of this angel that just all of a sudden comes out from the altar. This angel answers the prayers of those who have been crying out. And then it says that the ungodly are clustered like grapes hanging on the vine of earth. Did you catch that? The Bible speaks of two vines. Could you advance it for me, Rachel, one slide, please? Thank you. The Bible speaks of two vines. the vine of Jesus Christ and the vine of the earth. Everyone is connected to one of them, but not both. You might be drawn to one or the other from time to time. But you can't remain connected to both. You will choose. John 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And then we get this verse in Revelation. It also says that the earth has a vine. A vine of worldliness and ungodliness. A vine that will reach its full growth in the end time. And so a person chooses on which vine they will hang. And so I have a question for you this morning. This is where the rubber meets the road, people. What vine are you hanging on? The vine of Jesus Christ or the vine of this world? Because there are two drastic endings to what vine you're on. Of course, the vine of Jesus Christ is where you want to be. It's going to be drastic. You're going to be taken into heaven and given blessings and glory beyond what you and I can think about or imagine. But the other vine will lead to hell and total destruction. I took it a step further this past week, and I thought of another question I wanted to bring to you. We have a lot of young families in our congregation with kids, children. Dory and I included in that with our three boys. But let me ask you this. What vine are you allowing your children to hang on? Now, I realize there's a whole lot of work that we could talk about, the work of the Holy Spirit and being in Reformed doctrine. We talk about election. It's the work of Christ that brings us to Him and all that. But I want you to think about in your family, in your home, what vine do you allow your children to hang on? Are you directing them towards the vine of Jesus Christ? Are you teaching the way of the Lord? Are you reading Scripture with them? Are they in some kind of devotional? Do they know what that vine is of Jesus Christ? Because the vine of the world is the easy way. The Bible said it is the wide path. It'll look good. It's where the pleasure is at, even from time to time. It's bright and shiny. The vine of the world. What vine are you hanging on? Because it will make all the difference in the end. And then we move on to the time of God's wrath. Verse 19. The angel swung his sickle and the earth gathered its grapes and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. The vine of the earth is cut. All the ungodly are cut down and gathered together and cast together into the winepress of God's wrath. Now, if you look on the screen, I got a picture here of a winepress. And notice they've got kind of a big vat where the grapes are in. And they've got people that are standing up there. They're trampling on these grapes, moving upon them, right, to get all the juice to flow out. Now, do you think those people are up there, they're just like, well, be careful of that grape there. Watch this grape here. No, they stop, right? And that's the picture that we're given. It's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult. You and I don't want to be there. It's the image of what those last days will look like for the people who are ungodly upon this earth that denied Jesus. They trample those grapes with no love, no compassion, and no mercy. It's a picture of God's wrath on unbelievers. Note the scene. Blood will flow out of the winepress of God's wrath. The blood will be as deep as a horse's bridle. Some of you have horses in here. That's got to be, what, 2 to 3 feet? High blood coming out of the winepress is what the image we get. And then it says it'll flow for 1,600 stadia. Do you have an idea how long that is? Anybody do their homework at all and know what that figure is? What do you got to guess? Put it in miles for me. 200 miles of blood, 2 to 3 foot deep. That's a long ways. I also think that speaks of, that could be a lot of people that won't make it into heaven. We have work to do, most definitely. But it gives us the image of God's wrath, that he will not put up with sin. And if you like to study more on this, here's what, let me give you a little bit of a nugget. Because in this image, do you, anybody know how long Palestine is? Just guess how, guess 1600 stadia, all right? 200 miles. Isn't that kind of something? The blood will cover the length of Palestine, is what the Bible says. 200 miles, Israel. That's what we're talking about. Covered in the blood of unbelievers. And if you'd like to do some reading on this, go to Isaiah 63. Go to Joel 3. Go to Revelation 19. Go to Thessalonians 2. All speaks of judgment and of unbelievers and what this day will look like and what it'll be for them in this world when Jesus returns. Through the work of Christ on the cross, we can stay away from that terrible judgment. We can stay away from that terrible day. Where do we spend eternity makes all the difference. That's why I stand up here this morning preaching to you this way. Your loved ones need to know. Are you starting to see the picture, the future of what John is trying to tell us? What he wants us to see? I have a few things that I thought of this morning, and so here they are. First, the redeemed will be with Jesus, the church. The gospel will be preached to the whole world. Babylon, the evilness of this world will fall. Satan will be destroyed. Justice will be executed by Jesus and his angels. The believing dead will be at rest and rewarded. The harvest of the godly will take place, and so will the harvest of the ungodly. But most importantly, as you leave here this morning, the redeemed will be with Jesus. Amen? That's what we hold on to. Let us pray.